also know that he was a man who became wrapped up in his own success and greatness and nearly destroyed the kingdom because of his selfishness.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
But today is Youth Sunday, or to give it its proper title, Short Sermon Early Lunch Sunday. So, some of you might have been a little surprised by the verse that Leslie read, because it's clearly not the verse that's in the bulletin. I was surprised this morning when I came in and saw what verse was in the bulletin. So, instead of setting up like I should be doing, I did a little bit of research to figure out what went wrong, and I was going through past bulletins and I couldn't figure it out, but then it finally dawned on me. The last time I spoke was in October, and that was the verse I used then. How that ended up in the bulletin this week, I have no clue. So we're not talking about Ezra, we're talking about Ecclesiastes, which is far and away the least popular of the wisdom literature. Unlike Psalms and Proverbs, it has very little in it that can be called uplifting. And it lacks the, I guess the best way to put it would be the R-rated nature of Song of Solomon. But we're going to take a look at it. So, for a second, let's look at the origins of Ecclesiastes. Verse 1, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Seems pretty cut and dry. Most would say the book was written by Solomon. And that is the most likely scenario, but there are arguments against it. First off, the book never uses the name Solomon. It uses the title teacher. Second, it's been argued by a lot of people that son of David doesn't necessarily mean David's son, since, you know, Jesus himself was called the son of David. It could mean a descendant of David. It could mean someone sharing a strong ideology with David. A lot of people think it was a later king named Hezekiah, who is compared to David several times in Scripture. I don't think that's likely, since the teacher was king in Jerusalem, which Hezekiah certainly was, but it never says that he was king over Judah, which makes me think that the kingdom of Israel was not split at the time that the book was written, which happens shortly after Solomon quits being king, but a couple hundred years before Hezekiah would have been born. Another popular thought is that it could have been a student of Solomon's who was just recording his words, but the most likely author of the book is the king himself. I bring this up so that we can understand the nature of the man who wrote Ecclesiastes and the mindset that led him to the thoughts recorded there. There are several indications in the book that the author was an old man. So most likely this was written near the end of his reign. We know that Solomon was a man greatly blessed by God with wisdom and wealth. We also know that he was a man who became wrapped up in his own success and greatness and nearly destroyed the kingdom because of his selfishness. And so as an old man, we have an author who looks back on his life and regrets pretty much everything he ever did. He's cranky, crotchety, bitter, tired, so, you know, he's an old man. If you don't believe me, come sit in one of our board meetings sometime. So let's take a look at the teachings of Ecclesiastes. Many of you are certainly familiar with the most famous section in the book, A Time for Everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, so forth and so on. For the classic rock fans out there, turn, turn, turn. Or my personal favorite, Ecclesiastes 7:28. "While I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among a thousand, but not one upright woman among them all." Spoken from a man stupid enough to have nearly 1,000 wives. Ironically, when I brought this up with the high schoolers, the girls in the class were all in agreement with Solomon on this, so take that for what you will. But those sections are actually kind of out of the norm for Ecclesiastes. Most of the book, the teacher talks about all of the things that he has known in his life and how every last one of them was a waste of time. He repeats this phrase at the end of every section, "chasing after the wind," which of course means pointless. He says, "I was wise, and I sat in judgment, and I passed on my wisdom. But what is the point of wisdom? For the more wisdom you have, the more sorrow you have. And the more knowledge that you obtain, the more grief that you see." Wisdom is meaningless, chasing after the wind. He says, "I knew pleasure. As a young man, I denied myself nothing. Anything that I wanted, I made mine. And you know what I discovered? None of it made me happy." Pleasure is meaningless, chasing after the wind. Then the teacher said, "Yeah, I knew wisdom, but I also knew foolishness. And here's what I discovered. The wise man and the foolish man both die and are forgotten." Foolishness means nothing, chasing after the wind. "And so I devoted my life to work, and I took great pleasure in the things that I created. But then you know what I saw? I saw that I was going to die. And I knew that when I was going to die, those things that I made, somebody else was going to have them. And how could I trust that they weren't going to ruin the things that I made? And so I lost all pleasure in the works of my hands." Toil is meaningless, chasing after the wind. "I saw that some were oppressed, others were free. Some had wealth, some had nothing. Some had friends, some had no one. Some had love, some knew only misery. But in the end, I saw that all die miserable and alone. And I found that all these things were meaningless, chasing after the wind." Such an optimist. I mean, Solomon, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Probably doesn't matter because the water's poisoned anyway. From all of this, Solomon draws one thought, passes on one final piece of wisdom. Remember your Creator while you are young. Okay, young people, listen up, because this is the lesson that the teacher specifically wanted you, the young people, to learn. All right, you ready? Starting at verse 1 of chapter 12. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the window grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about on the streets. Remember him." He uses poetic language here, so I'm going to translate it for you. You ready? "Before your eyes stop seeing, before you lose the strength in your arms and legs, before your teeth fall out and you can't eat anymore, before you can't sleep, before your ears grow weak, before you become afraid to fall or to be jostled around lest you be hurt, before you become frail, in other words, before you become old." Sorry, old people, no disrespect. Solomon saw, as an old man, how greatly blessed he was by God. You see, as a young man, he saw that he had wisdom, and he saw his wealth, and he saw his greatness, and he falsely assumed that those things were actually him, that he was great. But as an old man, he sees that those things were never his. They were always from God. So while you are still strong and while your body still works, because one day it's not going to work very well, remember your Creator and remember that all these things are from Him. The conclusion of the teacher, the last two verses of the book, and I don't think these really need much of an explanation. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. As we go into our time of invitation, I just want to leave you with this thought. Whether you are still hale and healthy, whether your strength has started to leave you, or whether your strength is just a memory, if you have not yet remembered your Creator, then now is the time. Before all is lost, remember to whom you owe everything.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.